Amen. So glad that you were able to be with us on this Father's Day. What a blessing. I'm wearing a tie that my oldest daughter gave me. It's almost a decade ago when she took a trip to China while she was in college. And it made me think to yesterday we celebrated my grandson Atticus's 5th birthday at the park. And I sat on a hammock with my daughter. And then on the other side of me was my youngest son. And what a great day. And how time passes so quickly for all of us. And what a privilege it is to be a dad. Well, let's look at our scripture this morning as we jump into the message. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. If able, will you stand in God's honor as I read aloud from His Word. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father, the son He delights in. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the counsel of Your Word. And Father, what a job to be a dad. And I just pray, Father, that in our time that remains, that You would empty me of self and fill me with Your Spirit, and that Your Word might be clearly and correctly proclaimed today. And Father, we just want to hear from You, and thank You that we already have through what has transpired in this service. And I just ask, O God, that nothing would continue to block Your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Man, what an impossible job that it is to be a dad. Sometimes you feel like you got it right, and other times you feel like an absolute failure. And we're going to look this morning at three foundational truths of being a father, of being a dad, that are in these two Proverbs. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. The three areas that we are going to look at this morning are instruction, correction, and affection. And the truth of the matter is, I've entitled this A Father's Triangle, and it's like three sides of being a father. And no one, if there is someone, it's certainly our Heavenly Father that He is, a perfect father, and we're weak in different areas. There are some people that are strong in the instruction of the Lord, and they dads that know the Scripture, that communicate that with their children and live that faithfully, but they may not be good at disciplining their kids and correcting them. Then there are others who are good at correcting their children, but they're not good at affection, of showing their children and telling their children that they love them dearly. And then there are others who, you know, they're good at the affection part, but they're certainly not good at disciplining their kids or good at knowing the Word of God and sharing that with their children. And our struggle as dads is God wants us to be strong in all three of these areas. And you know what? We say that they're our children. These are my children. But the truth is they do not belong to us, but we are stewards for a amount of time in their lives. We don't own the children, but we are called to prepare the children, to rear the children, so that rarely we're trying to work ourselves out of a job, so that they can become mature adults and hopefully someday parents themselves. And so let's jump into the scripture here. In verse 11, he starts out here and he says, "My son." He starts out here, and this is written by Solomon, you know, that guy that God had given incredible wisdom to. As a matter of fact, it says that he had written over 5,000 proverbs and 3,000 songs. and just had an incredible amount of knowledge that was passed on. 3,000 Proverbs. I'm trying to even give him more credit. He's a wise guy. As we jump into this scripture here, I want you to notice how these Proverbs start out. First, in chapter 3, he says, verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart." And so Solomon is giving this wisdom to his son and being a dad. He says, hey, heed these words, this instruction that is being given to you. Hide them deeply in the heart because they are critical. They are crucial. He says in verse 2, they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. He tells them in verse 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them on your heart. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, keep those commands close to you. Then you go over to chapter 4, verse 1 of Proverbs, and he says, listen, my son, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. And then chapter 5, he says, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight that you may gain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. Matter of fact, in the books of Proverbs, 47 times, there is a reference to sons. 16 times there is a reference to children. So the family parenting is certainly emphasized in the book of Proverbs. As many of you know, there are 31 chapters of Proverbs. So you can read a chapter of Proverbs every day. I realize you got to work extra hard leap year in February and get two other Proverbs in there to reach it. In some days, some months, obviously you have 30, and so you have to work a little harder there, I guess. But great wisdom, and what a great practice to seek to read a chapter of Proverbs each day. There is certainly wisdom that is there. You know, it's interesting, as you look in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, as you come to the end of Ephesians chapter 5, there is an emphasis upon the family, on husbands and wives and then children. And then as you get to chapter 6 of Ephesians, there is specific wisdom toward children. And then you jump down in verse 4 and fathers are singled out. He says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. So the picture here is dads, there is specific training and instruction. In some translations it says admonition. That's like in-your-face instruction. And sometimes, you know, it's kind of funny in those videos where dad's actually the opposite of what he is tempted to do, certainly in-your-face instruction or admonition. But the importance of a dad to be the guy to say, I love you and I have to do this in order to do what is best for you. In the Hebrew homes, the first 3 years of instruction were handled by the mom. And then after those first 3 years, dad was to take a lead in that instruction. And he was obviously to be a disciplinarian, and he was to be the one in the house that was to give the importance of doing what is right and consequences if you don't. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God's people are told, hey, the word of God is to be close to you, dear to you, spoken everywhere you go, and it is to be, you know, written upon your heart. So this is from that text. He says, the words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, man, that should just be a natural part of your life. You should leak Jesus. you should be such a student of the Word, of the Scriptures, that it's just a natural part of who you are. That Jesus, you're not trying to force the truth of Jesus. You are living the truth of Jesus, and that is conveyed to your children. As I was studying for this message, I found that Skip Heitzig, when his kids were young, and they also did this with his grandchildren. I hadn't heard about this, but I thought it was a neat strategy that he would use. He called the strategy Say, Play, and Pray. And he said what he would do when his kids were small, he said they would read a section of Scripture together. And once they read that section of Scripture, they would play it out, man. They would dress up or they would have fun with that text of Scripture, communicating it with the kids so that they could play and enjoy that Scripture. And then after that, after they say it and they play it, then he said they would focus in on what is God trying to teach me in this Scripture. So they would pray it. They said, let's take this lesson that God is trying to share with us in the Scripture and let's pray together. And he said, then he would pray with his children that important lesson that was there, that was being communicated. So a question to you dads, to you parents. What do you really want to teach your children? What goals do you really have for your children? Do you want them to make a lot of money? Do you want them to have a prestigious job? Do you want them to have a lot of things? What do you want for your children? And the Scriptures tell us that above all, we should want our children to have right relationships. The right relationships with the person they marry, the right relationships within their immediate family, obviously with their parents, siblings, friends, so forth. But that really only happens when the relationship with God is right. And that is made right only through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that starts, man, that starts at a very young age. You know, we had talked about in a previous message some time back that in the Baptist tradition, we have, you know, what we call bringing children before the Lord. And offering them to the Lord in what we call a child dedication or a baby dedication. But really, it's the parents making a commitment and saying, I want to be the parents I need to be. I want to be that example to my children. And I'm coming before the people of God and I'm saying, this is what I want to do. And I'm publicly telling you and I need you to help me. And together in this community, we want Jesus to be real to kids, to our children, and how critical and how important that is. Here's a testimony that I had come across in my studies, a sad confession of a parent who didn't do this. Here's what he said. I took my children to school, but not to church. I taught them to drink, but not the living water. I enrolled them in Little League, but not in Sunday school. I showed them how to fish, but not to be fishers of men. I made the Lord's Day a holiday rather than a holy day. That first side of the triangle, instruction. Dads, God has called us to be men who share instruction with the children that He entrusts to us. Second ingredient, second side of the triangle is correction. Someone has said correction is what adjusts behavior, thought patterns, and strengthens the life. Back to our text, verse 11, he says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father, the son He delights in. The point Solomon is trying to make here is that discipline is showing love to your child. C.S. Lewis referred to this as severe mercy. He said it was severe mercy because discipline showed a child clearly, I do care about you. I do love you. Now, they don't think that. They may say very clearly, if you loved me, you wouldn't spank me, or you wouldn't make me sit in time out, or you wouldn't correct me, or you wouldn't take this away from me. But really, the opposite of that is so true. C.S. Lewis goes on, he uses a great example. He says of an artist, he said, you know, an artist before children, he may just doodle in just a few moments a small picture because he knows that's enough to bring joy to a child. He said, but if he wants to diligently create a masterpiece, something that he wants to display, something of great value that will be admired, that takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of careful, pinpointed artistry in order to produce a brilliant work to be displayed. And Lewis went on to say that when we complain about suffering, and we're saying, God, take this suffering away, we're actually asking God not to love us more, but to love us less. Because God is working a deep and great work, and it hurts. It is troublesome, and it's hard, but whom the Lord loves, He corrects. So your kids, they need to know that you love them enough to change their thinking and their behavior, that you love them enough to discipline them. I mean, hey, when you break your leg and you go to a doctor and say, well, I think I'll just leave that leg crooked for the rest of your life. No, what does he do? He sets the bone so that it can heal correctly. When you have a problem with your eyesight, you go, you know, and the eye doctor gives you corrective lenses. He doesn't say, you're blind as a bat. I think I'll just let you keep walking into chairs and walls and everything. No, he gives you corrective lensing so that it can give you better vision. And so there is a purpose for changing behavior. It is corrective, and it is part of the job of a parent, part of a job of a father. I heard a story about parents who sent their child to college, and it was really difficult. They had to work several jobs, and they were barely able to pay their bills and to pay the debt of college. And the son sent home an email to his mom, not to his dad, but to his mom. And here's what he shared with her. He said, Dear Mom, I'm writing to inform you that I flunked all my courses. I had an accident and totally wrecked my car, and I owe the clothing store in this town $2,000. I have also been suspended for the next semester because of misconduct. I'm coming home. Prepare, Dad. He didn't write to Dad, he wrote to Mom. Well, Mom responded, and she sent back an email, and here's what she said. Dear son, Dad is prepared. Prepare yourself. Certainly, corrective discipline was in order. Proverbs 13, verse 24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Here's another verse, Proverbs 19, 18. Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. We do not want to be a willing party to their death. You see, discipline at the times can appear to be cruel. And of course, we're not talking about, you know, beating somebody within an inch of their life, but we're talking about corrective discipline that is installed to keep you away from damaging and destructive behavior. Many of you guys remember a Cowboys coach by the name of Tom Landry, and many of you don't because this was maybe even before a lot of you were born. But Tom Landry was a famous coach for the Dallas Cowboys. And here's a phrase he used in talking about, he was known as a tough disciplinarian with the players. And I love this statement he made. The job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. That's a great definition of a dad. To make children do what they don't want to do so that they can become what they've always wanted to be. All right, two types of discipline. We've talked about corrective discipline. I also want to talk about preventative discipline. This is from an article from U.S. News and World Report. And it talked about research that was done on parenting. And there was this statement I want to bring out. It said, recent studies indicate spanking will make children less likely to fight with others and more likely to obey their parents. But this kind of discipline, it has to start young because by the time they get bigger than you are, it's too late often to try to apply this kind of discipline. So it's something that should be started young while a child is impressionable and is able to mold. Now, preventative discipline, on the other hand, contrasting corrective discipline, is when we take measures to show that we notice our children. You know, we live in such a busy world, and it is so easy to be distracted, whether it's cell phones or whether it's the next place we have to go or the next task or job we have to complete. It's easy to not really notice our children, the people that are around us, and not really listen to them or brush them off. And so preventative discipline is noticing our children. It is taking the time to stop and to listen to them. Give an example. The other day, I was sitting downstairs and I heard Atticus upstairs, my grandson, and he said, "Papa," he said, "you need to come upstairs now." And I thought, now? So anyway, I got up and I went upstairs, and he said, "There's something I have to show you now, Papa." I said, "What, Atticus?" He said, "It's very sharp." I said, "Really?" So I looked, and over in the corner of the hallway, there were four push pins. And so I looked at them and I said, "Yes, Atticus, these look very sharp." He said, "I'm not going to step on them. I know they're there, but I think Daddy will. So I wanted you to know." You know, so he's pointing at the, so I pick up the push pins and you know, just take some time and say, "Thank you, Atticus. You're right. This could be dangerous." It's just taking the time to really listen. And, you know, when our children call us, just stop and say what we're doing and say, "Okay, I'm here. I'm noticing you, that you're there." There's great value in that. And there are a lot of children that feel like they're not noticed. Here's some statistics from one report I read about. 53% of teenagers report spending less than 30 minutes a day with their fathers. You know, we talk about quality time, but there needs to be more time than 30 minutes. 1,000 teenagers were interviewed. 25% of them did not discuss their daily activities with their parents. 42% received no words of praise from their parents in a 24-hour period. 50% received no hug, no kiss. And 54% did not hear the words, "I love you," from a parent in a 24-hour period. A father's instruction and a father's correction, boy, those are important ingredients in being a good dad. And there's one more we want to look at, and that is a father's affection. Look at the last part of verse 12. "As a father, the son he delights in." This word "delight" is used in most of the translations, and I like that word, delight. Do you delight in your children? Do you delight in your family? Are they precious to you? Do they make you smile? Do they bring joy to you? It's found in studies that children that have affection, they have hugs. And of course, you know, Atticus is at the age I try to kiss him. And, he, you know, that's difficult, man. He tries to stop me at every point and then he wipes it off. See, I wiped it off. But, you know, we need to show that affection. And, you know, I enjoyed yesterday when I was, you know, talking about sitting on the hammock with my daughter, who's 29 years old now, and my youngest son, who 22. And, man, just cuddled up next to those grown kids. And what a blessing for me. What a blessing for me. So I want to look at least three reasons for affection with our children, why it's important. First, number one, a child's view of God is formed by their father. You know, in the scriptures, well, when you look at the model prayer, "Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name." It's the Father who feeds us, who cares for us, who takes care of us, our Heavenly Father. And there is certainly an important aspect of a father being a provider and a protector and being one who is there in the difficulties. a child's view. It's important. Secondly, your daughter's going to grow up one day, and she's fall in love and marry a man someday. She needs to know what to look for. So guess what her understanding of a man is? Her dad, her father. You know, you hear that saying, she married her dad. Let me just be honest, guys. Let me ask, is that good? Would you be proud of that? If someone said, well, she married her dad. If the answer is no, that can change. That's what Jesus is about. He can make us new. The course that we're going, He can change that course in our lives, and everything can be made new. Third reason, hey, your son's going to grow up one day and get married, and he needs to know what kind of man he's supposed to be. And so often, you know, a young man, he just does what he saw his father do. That's where he learned. In one article, one paper, it said, boys look for their father's approval in everything they do, while girls will look for men from the patterns set by their fathers. You know, it is much easier to prepare a boy than it is to repair a man. It is much easier to prepare a girl than repair a broken woman. You know, 100 years from now, the cool car we have, or the great house, or our trophies or accolades or all of that, that stuff won't matter. But what will matter is our relationships. And what a blessing for our children to one day look back and say, I love my dad. I listened to a message yesterday. You guys have heard me. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And Ken Davis, who is a Christian comedian and speaker, and he was talking about that he had the privilege of speaking at his daughter's graduation, and he said he was constantly embarrassing her. And she would a lot of times blush and not want to talk to him about, you know, deep things. And he would always say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And she would never say, I love you, Dad. And he said, so anyway, he spoke at the graduation, and some of the kids had written him notes saying, you know, what a blessing, thank you for coming. And he said, he got a lot of good stuff. But he said what he was looking for was what his daughter said. He thought, Lord, please. Please, at her graduation, please, Lord, he prayed before he talked. He said, do not let me humiliate my daughter and totally embarrass her where she'd say, that's my dad. Oh, dear, pray for me. You know. And so anyway, as he looked through the cards that were received from many of the students and faculty that were there, he found a card from his daughter. Had her name on the front, and we turned it over to the back. He read the words that melted his heart. Daddy, I love you. He said, oh, man, it's exactly what I wanted to hear. So a challenge to dads and moms for that matter. And let's show our kids affection. May they know that we love them. You know, like I said, typically there's one or more of these areas that, guys, we're just not good at. In other areas, we're better at, okay, of the three. And, you know, my dad, and I guess I've learned from him, good or bad, my dad's strength, I think, was affection. And he was not a good disciplinarian. That wasn't his strength. But I always knew he loved me. Now, he didn't tell me till later on in his life, because that generation, they weren't good with ooey-gooey words, you know. That just wasn't World War. He was in World War II. That wasn't his thing. But I knew he loved me. Do your kids know? If you're not sure, make sure. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Father's Day. We thank you for the dads out there, and we thank you for the families and for the children. Father, we just pray that you, God, would be in the homes, Lord. And Father, if you're not, that would change the day. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to hearts, Lord. We ask you to change lives, and we ask you, Father, to get all the glory. And I ask that for my home, my family, and me. And Father, may you, Lord, be praised. And we just thank you for another opportunity to come together on Father's Day and to remember the blessings that we have. Lord, it says in Psalm 127:3, at least one translation, that children are God's great gifts. They are. And Father, so are good parents. And so, Father, just work in this time we call invitation, and may we respond to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.